listen to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location where we talk, yes, about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's one of the scripture that we stand behind and we believe in. We've got some topics today, or a topic today, that is just going to be controversial. You guys are going to go, oh, you got to be kidding. How's this thing going to end? And you're going to have to keep coming back. But in the studio with me to help be to blame for putting it that way is no, to help me. A little understanding about it. It's Duke. Duke's in the studio. Good to have you, brother.
It is good to be here. Thank you.
You know, it's we have a topic today. It's about, and many of you may be empty nesters already. Some of you still have children at home. But when is the right time for kicking these kids out of the house? Do you kick them out of the house? Do you open the door? Do they leave themselves? Do you pressure them? What does the Bible say about this sort of thing, and what examples does it give? So we're going to chat about that one here momentarily, but in the meantime, I always like to kick things off with a little bit of encouragement for the men who are listening. And anything come to mind for you?
There's like this endless list, but how about you?
I'm always encouraging.
You always have the co-host do the encouragement. Why don't we have the encouragement from Raul this morning? What do you got on your mind, brother?
That's a nice way of being able to put it. Let's have it from the host.
Yeah.
I'm not the host. I'm a co-host just like you. Okay? So, okay, here's part of some encouragement for right now today is that the only way that I know of being able to know what direction I need to be making in life, whether it's a small decision or a large decision or a very major decision, is that I seek the one who has created all things. And that is going to the Lord. Okay? I know that there are some decisions I have to make very quickly, and those are reactive decisions. I'm driving down the road. A car comes across the double yellow line on my lane. I'm going to react to that. And that is not one I necessarily have to go to the Lord for. He's given me prayer immediately. Yes,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's like I need to react right now. Yeah. If there are certain things. Now, that's not what the type of decision making I'm talking about. I'm talking about when there's situations that have taken place in life as every day comes to you with different things. Are you going to be in contact with this person today? Are you going to call them? You know they're on your heart, or there's something needs to be taken care of. Okay. But then as you think about it, you start to wonder about, you have all the reasons why you don't want to and why you should, and et cetera, et cetera. So you become confused, and sometimes in confusion, I don't know about anybody else, but I always procrastinate. I say, well, you know, I'll deal with this a little later this afternoon. I heard something here the other day that that I thought was very, very good by a pastor who had mentioned it. Said one of the things in making decisions for the day on what you should tackle first on your agenda for the day is the biggest thing. You tackle the biggest thing, and whatever that challenge is. And in doing so, you go to the Lord and asking Him how this should be done, okay? Now, most of us, and I'm one of them in the past, I'm breaking away from this type of dealing with things, is I try not to make a decision just based on what information I have right now, that I actually wait on the Lord. You know, there's much scripture reminds me that in waiting on the Lord, that there, I mean, that I'm going to be blessed, that I am probably going to reach the right decision, and that I'll be inspired, encouraged, strengthened, and joyful.
Oh, and it works every time. What an encouragement. As you're saying that, I can recall many times when I didn't wait for that decision mm-hmm. before I was a believer.
Mm-hmm.
After I was a believer, I didn't have the same urgency. So many times myself or me and my wife would say, well, let's pray about this. And we'd give it that few days or whatever it was.
Yes.
You're right, brother. Almost every time something would manifest that you said, well, I didn't think that's what, mm-hmm. but that was the perfect path.
Yeah. And that's one that doesn't come very easily, but it requires practice, and it really does. And that's what this whole thing is that we're doing. We're like physicians in a sense. Every doctor I know has something on his wall that says practicing.
Hmm.
So maybe we ought to practice also.
Amen.
And so anyway, so a little segue into, there's a little bit of encouragement there. So how about a little segue right into what we're going to be talking about? You know, the Bible talks about Moses. Moses didn't have a choice. He was put in a basket and floated down the river, right? For him to leave the home, but it was for his safety in a sense, right?
Yep.
And you have David, okay, who was a shepherd, and he was he had a lot of brothers and a lot of large family, okay? And you hear about all different things that have taken place in his life. You hear about Jesus, okay, of his life on this earth. Right? It ends at age 12, in a sense, where all of a sudden it goes quiet, in a sense, until he returns, right? When John the Baptist, and he's in his 30s at that time, okay? And so there's a lot of different scenarios, examples of what to do with our children. When is the time for them to leave the nest? Some go, they leave, they go through high school, and they even go off to college. Maybe they come back. Well, maybe they don't come back. You know, there are those who end up, they leave the house, they get married, and they start something, but then something goes askew or goes sideways, and they come back. Okay. Maybe for a little while, but then sometimes for a lot longer than a little while, more than what was intended. But a lot of times people always ask, and as you did this morning, hey, you brought up this topic saying, hey, when is it the right time? What does the Bible have to say about
that? Well, and the reason that I brought it up is not unlike a number of the topics that we address is it's real life stuff. And I had a brother come to me lately, or he had a message that he'd sent out, and I responded to it. And it came down to him and his wife were going to sit down with one of their sons. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like time for him to leave, kind of that. Okay, you're an adult now, you're employed, you know, that kind of. Mm-hmm. And they were almost anxious to get him out of the house.
Right.
And so, and I can remember wondering if that was the smartest thing for me to do, because we're programmed like, okay, when you're 18, but there's the door, you know, don't let it hit you on your way out. Let me help you along, you know, the now the kids are gone, you know, that whole thing. But I'll tell you, one of my relatives has a heritage in Portugal, and described a trip a few years ago for the first time of going to Portugal. This relative had never actually been to their homeland, if you will, right? And out of all that she explained to me, there's one mm-hmm. thing that really struck me. It was the home unit.
Mm-hmm.
Then in Portugal, the houses, for lack of a better visual, are single, you know, three or four story homes.
Yes.
The idea is that the family doesn't break apart. The elderly or the grandma, grandpa live on the bottom floor,
mm-hmm.
and the youngest born are on the top floor. And that's the hierarchy.
That's because they can use the stairs a lot easier.
Exactly. The old guys, yeah, you bet. Well, we've earned that privilege, right? So, but the neatest thing about it that had me really emotionally involved in the story was that the family all cared for one another. There was no depart from me.
Mm-hmm.
They shared in bringing in the food, to doing the laundry, to keeping up the place. If someone was sick, the other one was there to help out. It was this unity, this family. And I thought, wow, I never looked at that. Why are we in such a hurry? So I sat down with this brother and I said, why are you in such a hurry for your kid to leave?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He says, well, because the Bible tells us we should train them up in the way they should go, and that they depart from us, the kind of thing. Mm-hmm. He says, okay, well, let's look at that. So that's what prompted this.
Yes, okay.
And I found myself looking at Scripture, and I never could find something that said, all right, other than the age of maturity, which adulthood, which you and I can say in the 1800s was 15 years old because people are getting married and having kids, mm-hmm. and we can say adulthood now is like 30 because the kid still lives at home at 30, right? So, and then there's the Jewish religions of, you know, at a certain age, yes. you go through this, and you're, what is it with this launch in kids?
Mm-hmm.
So what I found, Raul, and for the listeners, was I just could not find a scripture that said anything more than our responsibility as parents were to train them up in the ways of the Lord, mm-hmm. and that we're to keep them in prayer when they go.
Yeah.
The prodigal son versus the non-prodigal son is a matter of, are they a believer or not?
Yes.
The prodigal son being the believer. So a little bit different dynamic in how Scripture addresses, what do you do with that kid? And most of them that I read, which we'll cover some of them, did talk about the fact that, you know, the kid's going to go. It's kind of their inherent nature in a way. And what do the parents do with the empty nest, you know, syndrome?
Yeah.
And it's to keep your children in prayer and then, you know, look back on your responsibility, how you prepared them to go.
Well, you just did the whole show in less than 3 minutes. That's
just about,
great.
Yeah. Now, I wish I didn't launch a couple of my kids. And I'll tell you, Raul, I've got one of my daughters rents a room from me. He's living with us,
mm-hmm.
and has been for a while. And there's been a couple of perspectives of, well, how come she doesn't have her own place? How come she doesn't, you know? And I'm not over supporting her, but I'll tell you what, there's such a blessing mm-hmm. in having one of your kids be with you. I can't describe it, and I'm glad she's not gone.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and her do things together. She's part of our home. She contributes with dishes. She contributes part of the rent. And it's like, no. Now, she's been married and divorced, so if she finds another man in her life, then, of course, she'll be pulled away from the home and she'll go.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, it's like, why would I want to try and rush her into an apartment and get out of the house?
Mm-hmm.
That's that perspective.
You know, so often, and you mentioned the one statement or the verse where it talks about train up a child as he should go, and he will not depart from it, okay? And, of course, that is in Proverbs, I believe it is. And because of that, we end up, here's the deal. Even in Deuteronomy, when it talks about the responsibility of fathers, okay, of teaching your children, okay, the ways of the Lord, okay, in doing so, they, you know, in our comings and our goings, as they wake up, as they go to sleep, you know, that you're always talking about the Lord. Those are those responsibilities. As a result of that, now, I know that there's different cultures where families live together. I have family members who have children who still live with them that are adult. Now, some of it may be because of health reasons, I will say.
Or this, disabilities
and stuff.
Sure.
And those things are, you know, more accepted, I should say, by the majority of the people, in a sense. But we're not here to please the people. We're here to take care of what God has put on our heart to take care of. And I think that's what's really important here. Because truly, it's all about love. But when is too much love? Or when is love not best? You know, or is it not love? Is it control?
Well, one of the wisdoms in Scripture was that you release your child out into the world, mm-hmm. because how else will they learn?
Right.
Where will the contrast come from?
Right.
So I'm willing to embrace part of that, but there's also the worry. Okay,
right.
I'm throwing them to the wolves. Have I done a good job in raising that child? Have I really spoke the Word of God into their heart?
So then it would be our own insecurity, our own fear,
yes.
our own lack of doing. So then as a result of our being not prepared, are we the ones that are not prepared to let our children go and trusting God that he's going to take care of them? See, I've always been given that, and it's always been in my head, somewhere along the line, I always heard it when one of my first children were born, I was told that our children are not ours. They're on loan to us, okay? And I read it today when I pulled up something on the internet that said that same thing. And I thought, man, I got that a long time ago. My oldest child is 40, going to be 41. And yet I remember hearing that then, and I've always remembered it throughout all the, you know, all this time. My point being is that, if they're truly gods, and I do the very best I can at raising them, when it's time, they're going to, you know, child's going to say, hey, I need to go. Not every, you know, my son ended up going to the Coast Guard. He left right out of high school. A buddy of his said, let's go in on the buddy system, and they made a decision. And you know what? He was ready to go, and he went. Okay. Now, my daughters, on the same token there, they ended up until after they were out of high school for a little while. There was a divorce situation, but they stayed with mom for a while, and then they eventually left. Okay. And then they got together with their friends, and sometimes they'd leave, move out, and then they move back because they didn't like their friends or whatever. You know, so you had that going on for a little while. But every dynamic, every situation, I think, is different. Because of the, just like personalities, we all have different personalities. So we all require a little different behavior or attitude, in a sense, you know, what's going to take place. But what does the Bible tell us? Well, the Bible just tells us that we need to raise our children the way that God had intended them to be raised, about talking about Him, okay? So in doing so, that's what I want to be able to do, and that's what I try to remind fathers today in ministry, right? You got young children, and even as grandparents, to be able to teach them, okay, so that they mature, okay, so that they realize that, you know, there is something more in this world, and letting them know the reality of the world. They see it, but, you know, and yet on the other hand, depending on how much we protect them, you know, is it a good thing that our child stay at home and learn how, you know, we school them at home rather than let them go to public school? You know, there's so many decisions, so many things that that take place. And
well, and you're right. And I think as I looked at this, the overarching message that I got was most parents have the empty nest depression, or the empty nest syndrome, whatever you want to call it, because they miss their children that are now gone. And what do we do and all that? So as I looked at this, I thought, okay, Scripture isn't clear on they must go. It just indicates that as they reach adulthood, they will kind of like want to go,
At that time, they were young. They were in their teens when they were, you know, married. I mean,
yeah, but
married.
I knew more than my folks did when I was 18, didn't you?
I knew it all.
Okay. But, of course, now that we're in the reverse role, we know that they don't know.
But it was a different culture back then. As we've progressed in a certain sense, there's been more comfort that has been given to us or each generation as they get older.
Amen.
There's more comfort. They don't have to go out and milk the cows. You know, we don't have cows back there anymore, and there's no chickens that you have to feed and grab the eggs and take care of. There's not, you know, you now live in a home, maybe in a complex that you're there with 180 other people or families or whatever, and you have to take an elevator to get up and down, you know. So there's different. It's just a different culture.
It is. And with the finances, money, hard to survive. I mean, young people that have to find an apartment or room to rent. Even adults, it's a common struggle these days. So as I looked at that and I was with this other brother talking about this, I said, well, his proposition was that the child needed to go and, you know, learn how to pay for their own place, buy their own food, you know, all provide for and become responsible for that, because that's the model they'll have for their own children. Okay, I love that. But part of me also said, well, why don't you've taught him those good foundational things. Why don't you rent him a room in your own house?
Mm-hmm.
Let him have his own fridge, whatever. Mm-hmm. Would it be such a bad proposition that the kid survives that while under that, if you got a big enough house and you can do that, where's the negative in that?
Yeah.
Are we holding them back by not launching them?
Well, we're going to take a break. That's a good question, but I'm going to answer it with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
You know what I love to smell? I love to smell a ham baking in the oven, or bacon sizzling in that skillet. Ooh, or maybe some German sausage roasting on the grill. You know what I don't love? I don't love to read the weird ingredients listed on the back of most of those packages of meat. Who needs that junk? That stuff is about as useful as a back pocket on your t-shirt. When it comes to your family's health, it's time for you to fish or cut bait. You need to start buying your hams, bacon, and sausage from a quality supplier like Hempler's Meats. Hempler's uses the finest of ingredients, like old-fashioned natural casings and all-natural spices. Plus, Hempler's products contain no fillers. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, and Duke and Raul, we're here and we're stirring this thing up. Even during the break here, we're going over different situations and things that have happened in our own lives and in our own personal lives with our families and stuff. And yet, I'm not sure there's any pat way. But I used this one scripture in 1 Corinthians 13 because that's the love chapter. It talks about, hey, love covers everything, okay? You know, have less fear in your life, you have to have more love. God is love. So if you have more God, you have less fear. Trusting God is such an important part to love, okay? And in a sense, when we end up trusting God of taking care of our children, it's not that we're saying, okay, God, you show them how to be able to get a job. No, you show them how to spend their money. No, Lord, you show them how. No, that's not what we're talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. Because I believe those are our responsibilities as parents. See, I think the more often that we bring our children into true transparency of our own lives, how things are done, even as, I mean, what is too young? I mean, a middle schooler in today's world, they can play games that I don't even understand how to be able to do things and how this happens and that happens. You don't think they can figure out that, hey, here's what our bills are like. This is what we have to pay every month. We have to pay the city for water and for sewer. Every time you flush the toilet, every time you keep the water running, or you got to pay for that. Okay. In other words, you just be very clear with them to let them see what takes place. And I think when we bring our children into what's going on in our lives, our responsibilities as adults, they see that. Not to scare them, so that it's more of a reality. Yes, here's what takes place as a result of when you turn 18, you're going to have to sign for the draft. You got to have to sign and say, yes, I am 18 on this date, and you've got to be willing to take on, because that's part of the responsibility of being in this nation, that your name's going to go in. Whether they're going to call you or not is a totally different thing. But the point is that there are certain responsibilities that they need to know about. And I believe that's part of teaching them in a way that they should go, okay? So that at the time when they are get to a certain age, that there's no huge surprises. But you know what? I don't think there's a perfect way other than just loving them And I tell you what, there's a lot of great books on parenting, and some agree in some areas and others don't agree in other areas. And so anyway.
Well, you know, and as I continue to look at some of the other information that was out there, I couldn't help but agree with the proposition that, yeah, you really don't want your kids to have to experience pain, discomfort, things of the world, because you can't, there's only so much information that you can give them before they're, let's say, 18 or before they leave the nest. So Scripture is very clear about the responsibility of parents and bringing your children up in Proverbs, as you said. Mm-hmm. And then there's the faith piece. The more that I looked into it, the more that, and I looked at the parable of the prodigal son, where notice the father in the parable, he doesn't keep the child from leaving, and he doesn't follow after him. But, you know, to try and protect him. And later on, as I read stuff like 1 Peter 4:15, but let none of you, oops, that's the wrong one, sorry. There's one in 1 Peter that talks about parents have to let your children go, and they have to leave, and you have to have trust and faith in that, and that we're to keep them in prayer. So I get along with a little bit of that, but let's take today's culture. I think it's a different proposition, Raul, today than maybe it was, you know, 100 years ago, 50 years ago. It's much more difficult. I mean, there's so much more deception, I think, so much more obvious availability for them to make the wrong choice. That's that fear piece.
Yes.
So we absolutely, you know, lift them up in prayer. Yeah. That they will go that way. And then we're there to support them. But once again, I love so much the, I guess, the posture of what's the rush?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that Scripture, I believe, does is that in knowing the Lord and Him showing us through His Word, through the stories of others who were here before and the parables that He uses in the New Testament and just the principle of certain things, we get to, it's all about relationship. Jesus is all about relationship. He's all about how to be able to get along with other people, how to be able to treat them, okay? And when they do something wrong, how to deal with that. And how, when to be able to cast your brother away and say, hey, listen, I have nothing to do with you when you are like this, okay? It's very clear. I believe when we get more into the Word of God, we get to know exactly how we need to deal with certain situations. When do you tell your child that that's the last time you're going to be arrested and I'm not going to let you in this house any longer?
Yes.
Okay? When is the last time that, when is the, you know, you're going to put the boundary up that says, no, I'm not going to listen to you talk to your mother like this any longer? You're 48 years of age and I don't know, you know, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. My point being is that I believe, yes, love does answer, take care of all things. And love doesn't mean that we always give in for their comfort, okay? I mean, what child who is running down the street as a toddler for the very first time, not knowing what it's like, and just hears a lot of noise and everything, is running away from you toward the street where there are cars going back and forth? What parent is not going to run as fast as they can to catch them and stop them?
Oh,
I remember the very first time I was that. Yeah. And I remember the first time that I did that. And I remember the swat that I got as a result of trying to get my attention so I would pay attention to what he was going to say next. That don't do that. Look at what could take place. And I recall it happening to me. I recall thinking when my child was, I was shopping, okay, with her mother, and all of a sudden, she's gone. The child is gone. In this big department store, where? And you start to look around, okay, and all of a sudden you don't see them anywhere. You start to panic a little bit as a parent until you see that. You go a few minutes, you call them by name, and you know they're not answering, and they're playing a game with you, hide and seek.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden their little head comes out from behind the clothes thing that's on hangers, you know, and all of a sudden you sit there, don't ever do that to me. Did not Joseph and Mary do the same thing with Jesus? When Jesus was 12 years old and
yes.
They were leaving, and they left. They went 3 days not knowing Jesus was not in the caravan. And then they went back, and then Mary even responded. why'd you do this to us? You know, I mean, that's not precise, but that,
right.
Why did you do this to us? You know? And then he responded and says, you know, I was doing my father's work in a sense, you know, I was in my father's home. Now, okay. But she reacted as a parent would. Okay. She had to do the same thing. See, 3 days he was gone. Same thing when he was 30 some years old, when he was away. Okay. And my point being is that all of these things, we react and we learn a certain way. But you know what? The best way is to be able to get into the Word of God. And the more often that we get it and we share that with our children and with our family members and those that we love, I think the more that we end up getting closer to having the answer to how we need to handle each and every situation, because they are unique to us.
Yes, they
are. The situation may not be, it may be the same principle that needs to take place that everybody would use, but how we handle it and how we explain it and express it to where it's understood is going to be unique to our own individual situations.
Well, I also believe, and I love that perspective, I've also found kids that felt a little bit like, what's your rush? How come you want to kick me out?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of deal. And something you had said earlier in the show about how they're really not our children. I mean, they are, but they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the study I've got, I'm reading, the reality is that they are His children, God's children. He belongs to Him. They belong to Him, not us. So He's loaned them to us for a while, it says, and given us instruction on how to care for them.
Yes.
So I get that. The other thing that kind of struck me from a level of biblical maturity, I guess, that I hadn't seen the perspective, is one of the other ones is for the Christian family, because they're no longer just our children, they are now our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're to relate to them as our friends in the Lord.
Yes.
A whole different perspective. Yeah. They're no longer our children after an age of maturity. And part of me says, yeah, they're never going to learn unless they go and ride that bike without the training wheels.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't hold on to the seat and run down the street all the time.
Yes.
So I get that. Mm-hmm. But the worry, the concern, I guess, is are we in prayer enough for our kids? Have we done a good job with them? And even if we're not, we don't have kids. All right.
And that's a... We're going to take a little break, but that's a great segue into where we'll come back to is that, hey, what part of it is that we play in it? We look at our children, they're not ready, they're not ready, they're not ready. Is it them that is not ready, or is it us?
Yeah, amen.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, bench marker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments Anniversary Event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
Band Brothers Radio, and I tell you what, this is opens up such a can of worms in this thing that there are so many variations and so many things that we could end up talking about and looking at, and I'm just going to tell you right off the bat that I believe the more that we get into the Word as parents, as grandparents, as uncles, and you know, that we actually get into the Word, we come up and we come across some of the things I believe God wants us to hear. So often we talk about our children and how to raise the children. What should we do? The Bible talks about, you know, of course, train up a child in the way he should go, and then he will not depart from it. It talks about in Proverbs 22. But there's also another portion of this. He says, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Proverbs 13:24. And then it goes on and says, discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be willing, be a willing party to his death. Okay? And again, it says, discipline your son, he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. Proverbs 29:17.
And then there's the footnote, if he accepts the discipline.
Well, the thing is that, Jesus disciplines, God disciplines those that he loves.
Yes.
I am always letting men know that, hey, sometimes he disciplines us because he's trying to get our attention. He's trying, as a father, a good father would do, is that, no, I'm trying to get your attention. It's the same way I got a swat on my butt running into the traffic. And it was to get my attention. Sure, there might have been some fear on my dad's part, too. There's no doubt. He was not a perfect man. But he knew how to get my attention, and that SWAT got my attention. In today's world, he's going to be put in prison for 17 years.
Well, in my case, some of the fear is I've got a daughter that left the nest early, and I started questioning as I didn't do a good job at that time in my life. I wasn't walking with the Lord. I was living in the world. I knew the Lord. So I started having kind of this guilt thing, Raul, where I'm like, okay, she's out there suffering the world. I'm going back to admonitions in Ephesians 6:4, where we're supposed to raise our children in the training and instruction of the Lord, not frustrating or exasperating them. And then the Proverbs 22:6, giving him good gifts, Matthew 7:11, loving and disciplining him for his own sake, Proverbs 13:24, providing for his needs, 1 Timothy 5:8. There's all these scriptures that I thought, did I do that?
Mm-hmm.
So I started having a little bit of a guilt thing, like, okay, I didn't prepare my child well.
Yes.
And so I've learned that there are so many other people in your family that sometimes can speak in the lives of your children when you're in that place or not present, travel a lot, whatever it might be. But I had to turn that over. My wife and I would lay in bed, and we have this wayward daughter that was gone and living out in the world and obviously engaged in things that we didn't want her to, and we were concerned. I got to tell you, Raul, what we ended up doing is when we studied out the scripture, it came down to praying for her.
Yep.
That's all we did, because that's all we could do. And we were pretty sure we'd probably get that call from the state patrol that says, we just found your daughter, or there's been an accident.
Yeah.
We thought, how do you deal with that? Do I take on this burden of, oh, well, that's my fault because I didn't raise my kid well enough? Or is there that wisdom where God says, you know what, quit holding on to him, let me do a work in him, and let go of him?
It's such a big part of it, and you bring up a good point, because we end up feeling guilty. We feel like we've done it wrong, and so as a result of that, should my child suffer as a result of me doing it wrong? Well, all the more reason why we do this show and we do the things that we do, by letting others know that the answer to everything that takes place in our lives is in the Word. Okay,
amen.
It's our relationship with Him. Okay. With Jesus, okay? When we seek Him, He reveals more of who He is to us. When we pray, do we really tell people that we pray, or just so we get them off our back and don't keep bugging us? Do you actually pray? Or are you one of those that say, oh, prayer doesn't work? Is it because you don't pray, that's why it doesn't work? Or do you pray with wrong motives, okay? As the Bible talks about. So there are things that, yes. Is it for us to feel guilty? No. How about us man up in a certain way of saying, okay, let's take on the responsibility. I might have neglected. I might have been at fault. I might have done something incorrect. Maybe there's some forgiveness that I need to ask my children for, okay? As they have children of their own, maybe I need to go to them and ask them, forgive me the way that I treated you at a certain time.
It's funny you should say that, because of my prison experience, some of the listeners know about. There was a time when I was absent in my kids' life in their early teens, and I always felt like, what kind of damage did that do? So when I really started walking with the Lord, I did part of what you just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I came to all my kids, and I forget what the occasion was, but I apologized to them.
Yes.
I said, you know what? I did not know this stuff, and this is our world, and we're deceived, and I don't know what else to do except apologize for not doing a better job as a parent, but I'm committed to do that now. And I look to renew that I wanted them to know that I had a commitment for their well-being that was beyond just, I hope you're okay, and I wanted it to be that biblical basis.
Yes, yes.
And I'll tell you, Raul, after that time, I did have a different relationship with my kids in a different way.
Yeah.
They started to see that reflection of Christ's word in what I did.
Yes.
That example was more than any words I could ever say.
Yeah.
So we don't do it right. We don't always do it, you know, and kids do make those choices. We made those choices because I was smarter than dad and mom, you know, all of that. So part of that is, I think they got to learn. The other part of it is, man, if you're not doing it, brother, if you feel like you've fallen short, there's no apology in going to your kids and telling them how much you love them and how much harder you want to work at doing the right thing.
Right. Well, and one of the largest, one of the biggest points, I guess I'm wanting to get across, at least because it was such an awareness to me, that if I had taught my children the way that the Lord is teaching me, things would have been different.
Yes.
Okay. So all the more reason that we are trying to get men to understand this. Okay. It doesn't mean for you to feel guilty. It doesn't mean for you to go ahead and start beating yourself and feeling bad. Oh, you've done this wrong, did that wrong. No, no, no. The Lord loves you. He wants you to make things right, not only in your life, but in others' lives. He says, seek me above all things, first and foremost. And the second commandment, the second greatest commandment, is to love others the way you love yourself. Well, I don't love myself, Raul. You don't understand. No, 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 no. That's not what he's saying. Not that kind of love. He's talking about that if you're hungry, you're going to feed yourself, right? If you have to go to the bathroom, you're going to relieve yourself. If you're cold, you're going to warm yourself. If you're hot, you're going to cool yourself down. Whatever that is, you take care of yourself. That is what we are to do with others. And if our children were to see that, not only us doing that with them, but with others, then all of a sudden they would realize that, man, they're learning some very basic, huge lessons for life, is to seek God first and to treat others the way you want to be treated, okay? And as a result of that, and walk your talk. Brother, it's not about sitting there and going, okay, here's how I'm going to be able to do this. No, I need to discipline my kid. I need to do that. No, there might be other parts of your life where maybe you're sinning in your life and you're telling your child, don't do this, when you're actually doing the same thing in another room at a different time. You don't think they know that?
Oh, they know that.
You know?
Amen.
The fact is that we have to be willing to walk our talk, okay? So that's why many guys don't talk about God, because they don't know him. And they feel guilty. And there's shame that comes with it. That can all be gone in a second, brother, by just asking the Lord for forgiveness and repenting, turning away, a heartfelt turn away from that lifestyle. And saying, Lord, I want you to just feed me. I want to receive what you give me. I know it requires me picking up the Bible and actually reading it, not just saying it. It actually means that I'm going to pray for my children. I just say I'm going to pray for them.
That's got to be one of the most powerful statements. If there's any encouragement here, one thing you just said really struck me, that I didn't start reading the Bible with my kids until about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about, I thought, where could you start with this? Where does the foundation begin? Because we're to go to God's word on all things, right? And we're to teach him and train him at the ways, but not blah, 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 do this, do that, do this,
right.
Do that, because the world gets in there, right?
Yes.
So what we found is that if we open up the Bible as a family, and we would eat dinner and then we have a hot tea, is what my wife
right.
would do. We'd say, well, now let's open up the Bible. I got to tell you, Raul, I wish I did that when my kids were little,
mm-hmm.
because I raised my granddaughter. So I got my 12-year-old granddaughter at the table, and she says, show me the one that says honor your parents, honor your father and your mother.
Yeah.
Show me the one that says you're to, and you know what? We could.
Yes.
In every case,
yes.
we could. Now, some of the scriptures are beyond the wisdom of a 12-year-old, okay? But what she was learning was, that's where I go.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting as a family with that book open. Brothers, sisters, if you're not bringing your children up and using the word as your guide, then they're going to hear a lot of the world.
Yeah.
Because that's our conditioning.
Yeah.
And there's to tell, I can tell you too, guys, that as we would read some of these scriptures and my older daughter or my granddaughter would have some comment back, what a growth initiative. Because
mm-hmm.
it did cause me to do two things. One is read his word, and then I said, okay, what we should, let's pray about it. So he'd say, okay, Lord, show me what it is that we're to learn from the wisdom of these scriptures today. Help my family see why we're gathered here today, that kind of a thing. So that's probably the most powerful tool that I wish that I engaged, that I encourage men to do now, because it is very individual, as you pointed out. But, man, there's no apology in going to his word. Because if there's anything, when these kids are challenged and they're in that party environment or they're being tempted in some way, my prayer would be that they think, okay, where's that book of information? I'm not feeling joyful, happy. My boyfriend just did this to me, or my girlfriend just, and the world starts to get in. Man, if they can remember what it was like sitting as a family reading the Bible, okay, now we go to God's word. Say, here's what we do.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
You know, there's something about this. You'd mentioned, we've been mentioning prayer over and over again. There's a movie that is coming out, and maybe this is one that you guys have already seen because you're listening to this in the podcast, but on August 28th, it's called The War Room. And I've got to tell you, I encourage you to see it. If it's in your area, it's only going to be there for a short time, because so often these theaters do not want to play a lot of these. So make it a point for you to go see it. Take your wife if you're married, or your significant other, and watch this film. It will strike your heart. It may even encourage you to change the way that you are seeking the Lord right now. So, but with that, prayer, and just thanking the Lord for what He gives you, with all the strength that He gives you, with all the confidence that He gives you, with the wisdom that He blesses you with. Thank Him for these things that you ask for, because He's given them to you. You just have to open the Bible to see it and spend more time with Him. Acknowledge Him in all the things that you do, and He will actually make your path straight. So, brother, how about you pray for our brothers who are listening?
Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, that these words, these encouragements would strike the hearts and minds of those that needed to hear them, that they would go to you in prayer, embrace your word, and seek additional counsel from others, and be about your business in raising their children. In your name, amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you